Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
People never cease to amaze me. The things people will do. Somebody with the initial E sent me the story out of Canada. And the Hamilton Spectator reports that a Hamilton lawyer who faked a divorce, then married his law clerk, has lost his license to practice law. There's a lot going on there. Susan Claremont wrote the story, and he was apparently a well-respected lawyer, but he's now lost his law license after faking court documents so he could marry his law clerk while still being married to his wife, who is a justice of the peace. And this is almost an Onion story. It just you wonder what could possibly be going through somebody's mind. And there are guys in the audience right now who are doing the math going, wait a second, he married one woman. He married another woman. This guy's got two wives? What? Hamilton criminal and civil litigator James Morton had already been convicted of forgery and bigamy in a criminal court. And that was before his license got yanked. The baffling scheme played out in part at the courthouse in Newmarket, where his first wife served as a justice of the peace. Oh, she'll never figure this out. The Law Society of Ontario took over about an hour, actually, in a virtual tribunal Wednesday to accept his admission to a disciplinary charge of conduct unbecoming a lawyer and strip him of his license to practice law. The adjudicator there said when delivering the decision that it's the only reasonable penalty and it does take effect immediately. She said, many of us remember and acknowledge Mr. Morton's contributions to the legal community. Now, he's in his early 60s. He's a former president of the Ontario Bar Association, former professor of law, and former counsel to the Association of Justices of the Peace of Ontario. Now, he'll most likely be remembered as that guy who had two wives. Actually, it says here, for his spectacularly poor judgment. But I think that actually translates into the guy who had two wives. The hearing heard several times about the widespread media coverage of the bizarre case, and Morton himself did not appear on screen during the proceeding. He's been licensed to practice law since 1988. His license locally was revoked in 2020 because of the scandal. An agreed statement of facts says that Morton married a woman named Rhonda in 1990. Years later, he began a romantic relationship and a double life with his law clerk. When you find yourself living a double life, if it's not in a movie, you've got problems. His law clerk was with whom he had the double life. In March 2017, he and the paralegal became engaged and moved in together in Hamilton. At the criminal trial, his wife testified she did not know about her husband's affair with the law clerk or that he had another house. So some people out there are having a hard time keeping a roof over their heads. This guy's got two roofs over his head and two wives. So he had apparently set a wedding date of October 22nd, 2017, according to the statement of facts, which they've agreed to. And the paralegal divorced her husband. And then the lawyer, Morton, told the paralegal that he was finalizing his divorce. But that wasn't true, according to the agreed-upon statement of facts. He told the paralegal he couldn't get married on October 22nd because he would not be divorced in time. Need that paperwork to go through. Finalizing the paperwork. He then created a fake divorce order so they could apply for a marriage license. And, you know, I know a lot of people who think that the government over-licenses stuff. You got to go get a license for this, a permit for that, an inspection for this. Go get one of these. And I've had a lot of people ask me, Steve, why do I need a license to get married? Marriage is one of those old institutions that goes so far back. Don't you think they should just let us get married if we want to? Well, I know what you're going to say, Steve, it didn't stop this guy. But it made him jump through some more hoops, which makes this funnier. Because when you go in and apply for a marriage license, they ask a bunch of information, including what's your name, what's your address, How old are you? Because some places require you to be a certain age. And have you been married before? And if the answer to that is yes, how did that marriage end? Because they want to, presumably, keep people from marrying too many other people. Generally speaking, you want to be married to one person at a maximum. Okay. Now you can go below that. You can be married to less. You know, you can be unmarried, which would be, you know, married to no people, but no more than one. So one and not more than one. So apparently somebody from Morton's office was sent to the Newmarket courthouse by the paralegal to get a divorce certificate. And of course she believed the divorce order was real, but a courthouse clerk looked at the order and thought she saw problems with it. There was no record of the proceedings it came from, and its file number didn't exist, and it bore the names of two judges. Morton admitted later he took one justice's signature and just pasted it on the divorce order, according to the agreed statement. I assure you, an attorney would know that was wrong. And, you know, stuff like this may have worked 50 years ago, but nowadays, someone at the courthouse can simply type in the number of the case and see what pops up. So if there's something funny looking about this court order, the first thing you do is you type in the case number and see what pops up. And she types it in and nothing pops up, or something else pops up. So there's a problem. So when the attorney learned that the person he sent to the courthouse wasn't issued the certificate, he said, "I'll take care of it." He then created his second fraudulent document, a certificate of divorce. So he sent in the fake order to get the certificate. When he couldn't get the certificate, he made a fake one of those too. He reused the fake file number and forged the name of the court clerk who signed the paralegal's divorce papers. The certificate said the divorce was to take effect on October 26th, so the wedding was postponed until the spring. Meanwhile, the Newmarket Courthouse called in the York Regional Police, who interviewed the student, that is the person who was sent from the office into the courthouse, who said there was a new wedding date for Morton and Packwood, that's the paralegal, May 12th of 2018. 10 days before that happy day, the attorney went to Hamilton City Hall and got a marriage license using his bogus documents. So the marriage license is real. Got to give him credit for that. 4 days before the wedding, his first wife was interviewed by police and said she was confused about who would do such a thing. Who would create a fake divorce order? Didn't occur to her that her husband had done it. And she said that Mr. Morton was similarly confused and upset. So they showed it to the wife, said, "What do you think?" She's like, "Who would do such a thing?" And then when she told her husband, he's like, "Oh my gosh, who would do such a thing?" And he had done it. That same day, police asked to speak with Morton, but he declined, saying he could not talk to them until May 15th. That, of course, is 3 days after the wedding. And that wedding should never have occurred in the first place, according to the agreed statement of facts. But the wedding went ahead as planned. So the guy got married, and despite the existence of these fake documents, he's still legally married to wife number one. On May 23rd, the attorney was finally interviewed by police. He told them he made a fake divorce order, but couldn't remember when, and he had no intention on ever using it. He had just made one. He said he realized he wanted to stay married to his first wife, and he denied telling the paralegal he was divorced. So these are the kinds of statements and defenses that you look at and go, who's going to buy that? You went through with a wedding, and you're saying that you wanted to stay married to your first wife, and you didn't mislead wife number two? He denied telling her he was divorced. Marry me. Are you divorced? No, but marry me anyways. Police presented him with his own wedding invitation from earlier that month. He then exercised his right to remain silent, and things unraveled quickly from there. A little over a month later, he surrendered to police. 2 months after that, he was suspended by the Law Society of Ontario. In April of 2019, he pleaded guilty to forgery and bigamy. Bigamy. That sentence, that September, he was sentenced to 6 months of house arrest. and several hours of community service. Doesn't say the number here. Bigamy is one of those laws that very rarely do you hear it invoked. And it's also one of those laws I think that most people would go, I'm married to one person. Do I really want to get married to another person? That's what most people think. I think most people go, you know, the one marriage is enough. I don't really think I should stack a second marriage on top of that, especially when you're going to do it with the double secret life. You're going to have a secret life. So you're going to have a home over here with your first wife and a home over here with your second wife. And somehow you're going to shuttle back and forth. We've heard those stories. I remember hearing a story years ago about a judge who did it. And apparently it can be done. It's just a little bit more complicated than a typical episode of I Love Lucy. It can be done. But think about the effort. Think about the cost. And I'm talking about both the cost, like emotionally and all that, but also just the cost of buying a second house and maintaining a second household. And then also, I meet a lot of people who talk about their marriages. And rarely have I ever heard somebody say, boy, I wish I could marry somebody else also right now. Just one more marriage. One's not doing it for me. I need a second marriage. So, the wife, his first wife, her victim impact statement says she suffered much hurt and pain by media coverage of the case. In her statement at the trial, the paralegal who would have been wife number two called her fake marriage the most traumatic event of my life. Representing the Law Society at the hearing, Patrick Copeland said Morton used his legal training to perpetrate the fraud over a long period of time. This is not a momentary lapse. Oh, I mean, he's got to say it. Adding that Morton's egregious actions damaged the public's trust in lawyers. Yeah, I guess so. I'm more concerned about just the fact there's a guy doing this, whether he's a lawyer or not. Although I guess being a lawyer is what probably made him confident he could pull it off by putting together the documents and so on. The lawyer representing Morton at the hearing made an effort to salvage the reputation of his client because he pointed out that Morton is a brilliant scholar who shared his wisdom with students, judges, lawyers, and police. I hope, he said. The legacy of his decades of contribution to the profession will survive these unfortunate events, and I doubt that they will. All we're going to know is this is the guy who tried to pull off the two marriage thing over there. The tribunal ordered Morton to pay $4,500 in costs. Good news, of course, that is in Canadian dollars. That's a deep discount due to his drastically reduced income in recent times. At his criminal trial, Morton told the court he had applied for jobs at Staples, Walmart, and Canadian Tire, but had not had any interviews. And if I were a hiring manager at Staples, I'm not sure I would want to hire the ex-attorney. Tried to marry two wives, and then claimed that somehow he didn't really know what was going on at the time. And the same would be true if I was a hiring manager at Walmart and or Canadian Tire. Canadian Tire. So, and by the way, I do not mean to belittle Canada in any way, shape, or form when I joke about Canadian dollars. I actually occasionally get somebody who goes, Steve, that's not funny. But you have to understand, I grew up in southeastern Michigan, right across the river from Canada. And we get Canadian money over here. Now, it's usually change, Canadian quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies. But occasionally, there's Canadian money out here also. There's some Canadian money over here somewhere. I forgot where I put it. But Canadian money is something we're familiar with. And so if we drive through Canada, for instance, going to New York from Detroit, quite often, as you're driving along, the first thing is you spend American dollars, you get Canadian in change. And it's something we are simply aware of, that there's this exchange rate. There have been times where Canadian dollars are worth more than American dollars, and then there's been times where it's been the other way. And more often than not, it's American dollars worth more. And so I've gone to Canada and broken a large American bill buying something small and got more money back in return in dollars than I handed over. But they're Canadian dollars. And that, whether you think that's a funny joke or not, I don't know. It's simply something that occurs to me. And this is not universal, but it was even mentioned in an episode of Seinfeld where one time Jerry asks George what he's so excited about. He goes, did you finally get rid of that Canadian quarter? because Canadian money won't always work in our vending machines. But that goes back even further. So there you go. Great story, though, out of Hamilton. The Hamilton Spectator, sent to me by E. Susan Claremont wrote it. Hamilton lawyer who faked divorce, then married law clerk, loses his license. Crazy story. Questions or comments? Put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. What did the shy pebble wish for? To be a little bolder.